The goal of the title is reached by investigating tensor products. So let's do it in general. Since we are mathematicians, we look. So let's start with the monad. Monad. S is to begin with any category, then we will specify what we need on the way on. Say and the problem to investigate under which condition the tensor product in S leads to algebras has been already investigated. And the answer is that M is monoidal. Monoidal means there is a comparison which is not necessarily invertible but satisfy coherence conditions. So let's say I'm using products today, so let's be happy with products. Blah, 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 blah. This is known already. Symmetric, monoidal, closed, blah, depending how good is S and so on. S should have coequalizers. I'm not insisting on the properties of the base category S, so everybody knows how, which ones we will need. I'm just concentrating the main point. This should be called the algebraic tensor product. For instance, when this is the monad of abelian groups, this is the ordinary tensor product of abelian groups, and so on. Now, recently with Pino Rosolini, and Anna Bucalo, very recently, we understood that there is another tensor product. There could be another tensor product, and often there is, leading us, in many cases, to a kind of pathology which Bill mentioned for functional analysis. Too many tensor products, one is good for something, the other good for something else. And so there is a... And so this is what I want to talk about. In other words, the other tensor product. This is well known, and I would like to... So I would want to talk about the other tensor product and a couple of examples. One very well known, which will motivate the name, and the other one less known but known, in particular cases. And so that this theory will be a proper setting for this other less known tensor product. So how do we know algebras from M? Well, algebra Moore construction for the category of algebras. We take the algebras according to the algebra Moore definition. But there is another way. When S has the following property, the base category is exact in the sense bar exact. When these three conditions hold, there is another way to describe this through M. And the third condition is for the I forgot, it will occur. Follows. I think it follows. It will occur, I will tell you. When and if will occur. In this case, we can take this category, the category of free objects, the Kleisli we can reconstruct the whole category of algebras out of this as a universal construction. So first thing is this category has and there is a universal construction that I mentioned several times, I will recall for you now, namely the exact completion of a category with weak limit, which I'm calling this way. I will recall you what is it. And this category turns out to be the Eilenberg-Moore category of all algebra. Enrico, I'm forgetting. Is Enrico here? I'm forgetting something. Perhaps there is no condition here. Is enough, eh? Yeah, but these two are enough. Yeah? You're still sleeping. What? What more? We'll see. Okay, now, two things. This is the exact completion of this. Any category C with weak limits admits an exact completion, which is the free bar exact category, except that it's not really free in the, because the universal property holds for not for weak limits preserving functors, but for another class of functors, which, however, determines this construction. And observe that the embedding itself is not weak limit preserving, does not preserve weak limits, but has the property that the canonical map from any finite diagram, the limit of any finite diagram, the image, the limit of the image of any finite diagram into the image of the weak limit of any finite diagram is a regular epi. They are called left covering functors. In any case, this is determined, and what we discovered that what we asked ourselves is under which conditions on K of M we do have a tensor product here using this construction. There exists a structure of a monoidal structure. Yes. With such that I didn't finish yet. Okay. So I tell you the theorem, and then we'll come out. I don't touch this. Just enough. Let me just spend one word how this construction is. In the literature, everybody can check it. So in general, if we take any category C with weak limits, we can perform the exact completion. And everything is published, everybody can check. And the objects here are a pair of maps. Actually, reflexive graphs, which and let me give a slogan for the objects. The objects are as they were equivalence relations, except that we do not insist they are jointly monic. Okay, so there is a transitivity symmetry. I think the name is compromised for a slightly different reason. I don't really know. Could be, but I don't read. Many cases they coincide.
The image is an equivalence relation, but they're from. The image is an equivalence relation.
It's exactly true what he says. If there is an image, when there is an image. The point is that if we have weak limits, there are no images. What we want to do is precisely adjoin images. But the idea is precisely what Jack said. Okay, so we don't insist it's jointly monic, so there is a witness for the transitivity, witness for symmetry, witness, so it's a structure, not a property. But since maps are then equivalence classes, this witness doesn't matter which one we choose. And maps are are in principle squares, but homotopy classes of. Okay, we identify two such if there is a sigma such that blah 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 blah. So this is the construction. Now let's ask the general question then. When at least sufficient conditions a monoidal structure on C lifts on the exact completion, at least to find sufficient conditions, and lifts in a nice way with properties which I'm going to tell you. So I wrote it down, and the theorem is the following. I will probably remember. So theorem. One condition is C both sides, and I can talk about the exact completion because C has weak limits. It turns out that in this case, for the exact completion to have all coequalizers, is equivalent to say that every reflexive graph can be completed to weakly to a pseudo-equivalent relation. It's equivalent. So, but this is shorter, so let's use this. Then, so extends means that there exists a monoidal structure and Y preservers. A strong monoidal. And this monoidal structure on CX, on the exact completion, preserves coequalizers for each object, tensoring both sides. And I'm not asking that it's symmetric. The theorem holds in general. So, an edge is missing. This is what you asked, Bill. What do you mean has? Okay, now, I say this is different from this. I have one example, not funny example, where they are different. They could be the same sometime. Why not? You mean this or this? Which one? This. Provided S is closed and is good enough. This is a sensible question. What is the connection between the product in sets and the tensor product of abelian groups? Same connection. It represents bilinear. Bilinear. It represents bilinear things. This is the. Which functor? Which functor? This is one story, this is another story, sometimes they could be the same. Which story are we talking about? This or this? Okay, well, the proof is quite easy, so I'm not going to prove it. You have all the definition. The way to prove it is the following. Suppose that the theorem is true and try to figure it out what is the equivalence, what is the tensor product of two. Okay? You do it. So assume that and you prove the theorem. So an exercise, maybe a bit complicated, but the only question is associativity. Where is gone associativity? It's easy to define it. Associativity is condition two. Is the distributivity of the sums with respect to the tensor in the original category. And the other remark is that this is a sufficient condition. There could be more general theorems. In fact, I think it's possible to find out necessary and sufficient conditions for which the conclusion is true. And the guide for this is, I have two examples we want to discuss. The guide for finding the general necessary sufficient conditions is my first example. let me say, monoidal, 2 min has a monoidal structure, blah, 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 blah. Only a tensor product which is associative, as should be, and so on. It's a structure, of course. Eh? I can take the coproduct completion. Coproduct completion is monoidal. Again, is abuse of language. Has a monoidal structure, blah, blah, blah. Sorry, I should say finite limits. Eh? When I say weak limits, I always understood finite. Weak finite limits. And of course, there's a sum. Because we added the sum. And of course it's preserved by tensor. Because we define the tensor of two families in the obvious way. So we can take the exact completion. And by universal properties, this is nothing but, in the sense is equivalent, to the Presheev category. Hence, as all co-equalizers. So condition 3 is also true. So the conclusion is true. So which one is the tensor product? Is, of course, proof. What else could be? It is, in fact, I mean, and it is also closed, and we all know all this stuff here. So, in a way, this suggests to call for category of algebras this tensor product so defined, convolution tensor product. Should be called convolution tensor product. Notice that this example is of the same nature of this. We take sets, we take the base category to be product of sets, a Presheev category is monadic over this. So there is a monad whose algebras are the Presheevs. So it has the same nature of this. So the examples of I'm going to discuss are always of the same nature, namely a monad on a convenient category. But there are other examples, so I prefer to state the theorem in the full generality, which where no monads are mentioned. Now, third example. This is higher than that one. Thank you, Ronnie. Strange, they are different.
Do you want to set up?
No. Well, but better. If we can, yes. If we cannot, doesn't matter. Let's try to be more. Not so lazy. Let's try not to be so lazy. Thank you, Ron. Now, example 2. Hmm. Yes, example two is and take the monad to be the covariant power set phantom. We all know that P algebras are sublattices. Let's see if the conditions are satisfied. The condition is first of all this. The first two conditions are on S, which is now E, is the base topos. The category of sublattices in the base topos is exact, bar exact. It's in our paper and nobody objected, hence it's true. And it's well known that power sets in sublattices are projectives. Hence, the category of the Kleisli category and the Kleisli of category of P. We only need the free R projectives in the category of algebras. No. We need that the frees are projectives in the categories of algebras. And this is true for any topos, it doesn't matter of choice. For this monad. For this monad. Not for any monad, of course. Of course, not for any monad. But for this monad, thanks to God, it's true. Let's look at Kleisli category of P. Sorry, I name it differently. So I think we all know which one is it. It's the category of relations. Which hence has weak limits. Hence, and I'm always confusing myself if I have, in principle I have to assume it, but sometimes when I already have the category of algebras, I know that frees are projectives in algebras, then the Kleisli categories always has weak limits. I mean, you cover, you know, pull back downstairs and cover with free usual thing. So And so we know that there's that completion. Of relations as a category, simply as a category. Okay? Now we are in business. Let's check. Is anything wrong, Bill? We are in business, and let's check if the theorem is, conditions in the theorem are satisfied. Yes, one, yes. The monoidal structure is the product on objects, but it's not in relations, it's not product, but as a tensor product. Two, the category of relation is semi-additive. It's the first step in linearizing. So, two is. Three, is that completion has all coequalizers because we all know that in this. Over any topos C, the category of sublattices has all coequalizers. Is in Joyal Tierney, page 4 or 3, something like this. So we do have a set tensor product of sublattices. On the other hand, this is a very interesting example because we have both. So I have to have a name for this because we do have also the other tensor product. So we have two tensors. I need two names. Tentatively, let me call it, which is bad because star is used also. But we also know that M. Is monoidal. Monad. Product of parts maps canonically in parts of product with the sub. So I'm calling, when they both exist, I have to have two names. So I'm calling convolution this, because of example one. And this is, I should call it algebraic, because in the example when exists is the bilinear, I mean the one representing bilinear maps. Which is the one used canon always in the in sublattices, which in this case I'm calling autonomous. Good. What good for? Okay, this is, was a little bit of a surprise for me because checking the literature, I say, why is it never being considered? I mean, sublattices is such a studied animal, that everything should be known about surplices. And with my surprise, I find an illuminating paper by Johnston and Sohn, when this tensor has been used in the context of locales. And they mention a very interesting property, namely, why not, indeed? Good, thank you, Ronnie. So, the tensor they use it in locales, but in fact it lives in supplatis, and so it's good that I think it's important to clarify the theory behind the tensor. They use it for very good reasons, namely, and the reason goes back to functional analysis. So we have topological spaces, and I'm always confusing. With locales, you denote which maps. Is the one dual to which one? Covariate embedding. So frames is the algebraic. I see. Okay, good. Banach spaces, you take a ring of continuous functions. From X into Sierpinski. Is the lattice of open sets. This the fact is the and what Peter says, which is absolutely correct, is one defect of this category. Defect of this category with respect to this tensor product is that it doesn't take products into the tensor. In other words, what is not true, what is not true we would like to be true is this, but it's not true. But what is true is this. What is true is this, and it's very useful. I think you use it for exploring Hausdorffness and so on, right? In the concept of locales. Excuse me? This is the right question to ask. It's not very easy. It requires some effort, but it's not complicated. I can give you the formula, by the way. The formula in this sense. So if you present a locale as a quotient of a free, I can give you the formula for the presentation of this box tensor product. And it's very simple. You take tensor of the legs, I take the coequalizer of that. But then, to ask, if you are given the locales, the sublattices, to say what is requires an effort to. So it's the most simple way. I mean, just tensoring the legs of the presentation as a coequalizer, maintain the quotient of that, of the new diagram on the yes, I'm almost at the end. Let me. Oh yes, now with this we can now try to understand better the embedding. Ask ourselves, of course, factors through coalgebras here, co-commutative coalgebra here, taking the diagonal, and we can ask if it is full, faithful, blah blah blah. It turns out that is full, which is the main point, in commutative coalgebras, and is as faithful as can be, namely on sober spaces. We can ask how good is the category of co-commutative coalgebras here, and is Cartesian close. Whereas I don't know about this. I kept asking competent people if the category of co-commutative coalgebra for this tensor product is close. The uniform answer was, I don't know. So I don't know. If they don't, I don't. And I think I will stop here for a moment.